This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, May 13th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. Over the past few years, cryptocurrencies have been elbowing their way more into the mainstream. One big question that's been hovering over the sector is how the digital currencies and other financial products built on them will be regulated. On today's episode, we'll hear from one SEC commissioner who's been supportive of crypto for years, even earning herself the nickname Crypto Mom from early adopters. Hester Peirce spoke with our investing columnist Jason Zweig at our Future of Everything Festival yesterday. We'll have their conversation after these headlines. Colonial Pipeline, which was hit by a ransomware attack last week, said it's restarting operations, but said that it could take several days before fuel deliveries return to normal on the East Coast. The Colonial Pipeline hack is one of several major cyber attacks in recent months targeting U.S. agencies, businesses, and infrastructure. And the trend is prompting a high-level response from the White House. President Biden signed an executive order yesterday aimed at shoring up the government's cyber defenses. The order does a few things. It establishes baseline cybersecurity standards for U.S. agencies and for contractors that supply the government. It requires federal technology vendors to disclose certain data about hacks. And it establishes a cybersecurity safety review board that'll be led by a mix of government and private sector experts to investigate significant cyber intrusions and publish security recommendations. A court in the European Union has sided with Amazon in a major tax dispute. The bloc's top antitrust authority has been working to wring more taxes from big tech companies. And in 2017, it ordered Amazon to pay $300 million in what it alleged were unpaid taxes. But yesterday, the EU's second highest court said that regulators had failed to prove that Amazon had an illegal advantage, a central part of their argument, and that their analysis had been incorrect in several aspects. Amazon said it welcomed the decision. The EU's top antitrust regulator said her office would carefully study the judgment and think about next steps. It's unclear whether they'll appeal. Tesla CEO Elon Musk said on Twitter yesterday that the company had stopped accepting Bitcoin for vehicle purchases, citing concerns about the environmental impact of mining Bitcoin. He said Tesla would resume allowing the cryptocurrency for transactions once mining transitions to more sustainable sources of energy. And in other cryptocurrency news, a digital currency backed by Facebook is being revamped in an effort to address regulators' concerns that it could be used for money laundering. The project was called Libra when it was rolled out 2 years ago, but it's since been renamed Diem, and it's now moving from Switzerland to the U.S., where it'll register with the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. Diem's backers also said that it would partner with Silvergate Capital. The bank will issue Diem's stablecoins, which are tied to the U.S. dollar. All right, after the break, we'll hear from one regulator about how she sees cryptocurrencies fitting into our financial system and what investors should keep in mind about them. That's next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This week, we're bringing you some select chats from our Future of Everything Festival. Yesterday, our investing columnist Jason Zweig sat down with SEC Commissioner Hester Peirce to get her views on the future of regulating cryptocurrencies. They started off discussing the possibility of a Bitcoin ETF, an exchange-traded fund that would make it easier for investors to gain some exposure to the cryptocurrency. A lot of people thought that Bitcoin ETFs might be open to U.S. investors soon. But on Tuesday, the SEC issued a statement warning investors of potential risks related to Bitcoin futures. Let's pick up their conversation there.
So certainly one of the things we'd most like to hear is, you know, your views on when the U.S. will catch up to countries like Canada and Brazil that already have cryptocurrency ETFs of their own.
So yesterday's, I'm glad you pointed to yesterday's statement from the SEC staff. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it highlighted the fact that we as regulators are extremely slow, extremely conservative in the way we view these things. And so, you know, the world is moving forward, is giving people access to Bitcoin and other crypto assets through regulated securities products. And we are really putting up barriers to that happening here in the US. I hope that under our new chairman, Gary Gensler, we'll be able to take a more progressive view toward allowing investors to get access through the products that we know that they like to access assets through.
And I mean, give us a projection. When do you think that'll happen? Is 2021 the year?
That's the big question. And, you know, again, Gary Gensler really just walked in the door a few weeks ago. And so we'll have to see where things go. I didn't love the tone of yesterday's statement from the staff. I think it, you know, again, we want people to be cautious no matter what product they buy. But I think we need to, again, have a more welcoming tone. So we'll see whether the new chairman, what his approach is.
So that brings me to an obvious next question, which was in 2018, you were the only SEC commissioner to vote in favor of approving a Bitcoin ETF. And in a public statement you made at the time, you said that the SEC's decision not to approve the fund would undermine investor protection by preventing the public from, quote, accessing Bitcoin through an exchange-listed avenue that offers predictability, transparency, and ease of entry and exit, close quote. So the question is the SEC partly responsible for the kind of speculation we've been seeing in the crypto markets? And what should the agency do about it at this point?
Well, I'm not sure that I would say we're responsible for the speculation. People are people and they like to speculate on things. And so I think a lot of people want to access the Bitcoin markets and other crypto markets directly through exchanges or through decentralized exchanges. But there is a segment of people who would like to access them through our regulated markets. And I think for them, there really is an investor protection problem that we've created by not approving a Bitcoin exchange traded product. They're going through less direct routes to get to the same result. And I think that that has not been beneficial for them.
Yeah. So if the SEC should end up approving a Bitcoin ETF this year or sometime soon, what about an Ethereum ETF or a SafeMoon ETF or a Dogecoin fund? Are there limits to what regulators should let go forward, and what are they?
Well, again, I think we have a statutory mandate to look at the product to see if it will work out. And I think that ETH is quite different. It's a very mature asset also. So it's quite different from some of the less mature cryptocurrencies. And so we've seen that Canada has decided that they can have an ETF based on ETH. I suspect that if one were designed properly, that would be something that would work in the US as well. But, you know, again, as you go further down the line, the markets are less active and it's much more difficult to price, which is really important when you're trying to build an exchange traded product. So I think it would become a lot more difficult.
Yeah. The SEC, of course, has taken the view that cryptocurrencies themselves are not securities, which seems to have created sort of a safe space for celebrities like Elon Musk and Mark Cuban, Chamath Palihapitiya, and others to create almost an online buying frenzy for various coins. Should regulators put limits on that kind of celebrity endorsement?
Well, we certainly have brought cases against celebrities for endorsing ICOs, for example, and whether it's a crypto asset or some other kind of asset that's baked into a securities product, if you're touting it and you're a celebrity, you better be careful that you're adhering to the securities laws. So I think we have sent that message. It's important to remember that we don't say whether something is or isn't a security. we have this very open-ended definition, and people need to figure out whether when they're making an offering of something, it is a securities offering. And it's an intentionally open-ended question, right? So I think we need to be careful. I don't want to send a blanket message that one set of assets would never be considered a security. It's really difficult to know that in advance.
Right. Well, I mean, do you have any concerns that the kinds of, I'm going to call it promotional activity we've seen on the part of any number of well-known people in the financial markets has gone too far? With talk about Dogecoin from rappers, and of course, it's not just Doge, it's all kinds of coins.
Well, I mean, look, I always worry about promotional activity and investors looking at promotional activity and making decisions based solely on that. But, you know, when I'm looking at the securities markets, I'm worrying about promotional activities in our securities markets. And so I think the first question I have to ask is this something that's within our remit to look at? But I think that a general message that we always try to send investors is ask lots of questions. Don't buy because your friend tells you to buy something or because some artist that you like tells you to buy something. Buy it because you have a reason, you've done the homework, or you've hired a financial professional who's done the homework for you.
Well, it does seem that in recent months, a lot of people have been buying just because somebody online told them to.
Well, I mean, you know, people make their own money and they spend their own money. So that's a choice that they can make. But as a regulator, as a boring regulator, I'm always telling people you should do your homework.
Right. So for all the talk about decentralized finance or DeFi and how it will transform markets and the financial system, the practical applications so far, at least, have been pretty limited. In the next 5 to 10 years or so, how do you see DeFi changing the financial world? Will stocks become tokens?
Well, I don't know the timeline, but I think tokenization of stocks is certainly an interesting proposition, and it's one that I think people are starting to experiment with. But you know, whether DeFi will replace CeFi, I doubt it. But I think that DeFi is, there's a lot of activity going on there, a lot of it's experimentation. But I think it is starting to have real world uses. People are using it to lend and borrow. And I suspect what will happen is that pieces of DeFi will get built into our traditional financial system. And so people won't even realize that they're dealing with decentralized finance because they'll go in through a centralized intermediary. Whereas other people, I mean, the decentralized markets are really quite large now. And so I think there will be some people who will live entirely in that world.
Okay, great. So I do want to have time to jump to some questions from the audience, and we do have some good ones coming in. So Andrew Blake asks, what is the SEC doing to increase their technical knowledge, given that these cryptocurrencies are based on sophisticated technologies?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because our employee base tends to be lawyers, economists, and accountants. And so certainly some of the economists are quite technical, but we really do need to bring in people who have the more computer science kind of backgrounds to help us think through these things. And we have established an office that is a fintech office. It's called the FinHub. And they have brought in people who have expertise, who know this area really well, and who have a set of skills that's not our traditional set of skills. I'd like to see us bring more of those people in. Now, you know, people who are engaged in crypto may not want to come work at the SEC because they'd have to get rid of all their crypto.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Matthew, for the impact of mining Bitcoins on the environment?
Sure. I mean, that's a big topic of discussion these days. And I think, you know, I'm a regulator. I'm not the technologist, but what I will say is that people do all kinds of things with energy that I might think are a waste or I might think are good. And we all make choices about how to expend energy. So I think people who are asking questions about crypto and the use of energy, you know, might want to look at their own lives and think about how they're using energy and whether someone else could come in and decide that they aren't using energy in a way that's productive. But, you know, there are a lot of people who have thought a lot more about that than me, a securities regulator.
So Annette Laser asks, are there any basic regulations the SEC could enforce that would reduce fake cryptocurrencies? And what are their reporting requirements, if any?
Well, so we certainly have brought a lot of enforcement actions against fraudulent initial coin offerings where there's been an attempt to use crypto to raise money and effectively steal it. So that's something that's always in our arsenal. I would like us to develop a framework within which token distribution events could happen in a way that would require the disclosure of certain information and would require adherence to certain requirements for a period of 3 years. And then after that, you know, you could prove that you're decentralized or functional. I think setting up a safe harbor framework like that would actually be really helpful at distinguishing products that are legitimate and really do want to give information to the people who are buying tokens and those that are trying to do something nefarious.
Okay, and Johnny Clark asks, is it possible that the ability to trade cryptocurrencies could become more difficult in the near future due to regulatory action?
Certainly, I think our new chairman has suggested that there should be some sort of federal regulatory regime for crypto exchanges. And I think that would, I mean, whether it would make trading more difficult, I think it would make it more difficult for an exchange to open its doors. And so it could make it more expensive. Now, there's a whole set of decentralized exchanges that's operating, and I don't know how you would pull that into a regulatory framework, because that's just essentially a smart contract. It's an algorithm that operates and people use it. And so people can always do that. Now, that does require some level of technical expertise to use.
Right, right. So I think one other question would be, do you think that there's something wrong with markets when we see the kind of enormous run-up in, I guess we would call them secondary digital currencies like SafeMoon or Dogecoin, Shiba, and the others that have sprung up in the past few months?
Well, I mean, it's a strange time in our world and it's a strange time in our markets. And so people are looking for ways to make money quickly or have fun. And they're doing it all from within their houses still, by and large. And so, look, I think some of these phenomena are probably short-lived and you know, and a product of our unusual time. But you see a lot of asset prices going up. You see house prices going up, too. And so I think as a securities regulator, what I'm thinking about is trying to make sure that our capital markets are working to channel money to legitimate projects. So that's really the focus. And I think reminding people again, ask lots of questions before you buy stuff. And, you know, people will learn lessons if they lose money. Now, I always tell people, if you do lose money on one of these flyers that you take, don't come running to the SEC to try to get reimbursed.
So I have a quick philosophical question for you. I mean, the traditional regulatory view, especially at the SEC, has been that disclosure and information are paramount in investor protection. And anecdotally, though, it seems that a lot of investors don't have a very good idea of how cryptocurrencies and decentralized finance work. Is giving them more information sufficient to giving them the understanding they need to navigate these markets?
Well, I think people, when they engage with any kind of product or asset, need to think about, one, is this regulated? Two, if it is regulated, you know, who do I go to for assistance? And three, if it's not regulated, should I be asking my own questions and doing my own homework? I mean, the philosophical basis of our nation is that people as individuals have authority over their own lives and their own assets, their own investment decisions. And I think it's really important for us as regulators to respect that. We have our mandate at the SEC. It's a limited mandate. It doesn't cover the purchase and sale of every asset. And we have to operate within that mandate.
All right, great. Well, I think we're out of time. But I want to thank you so much for being with us, Commissioner Peirce, and also to thank our audience out there, wherever you are. And it was a delight to be able to join you today. Thanks again.
Thank you,
everyone.
Jason.
Today is the final day of the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything Festival, with conversations from a range of industry leaders and thinkers. You can still register at foefestival.wsj.com. All right, that's it for today's tech news briefing. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.